'Cause when we see you, we find strength to face the day. And in your presence, all our fears are washed away. 'Cause when we see you, we find strength to face the day. And in your presence, all our fears are washed away. 'Cause when we see you, Lord, when we see you, we find strength to face the day. And in your presence, all our fears are washed away. 'Cause when we see you, when we see you, we find strength to face the day. And in your presence, all our fears are washed away. Washed away. Hosanna, Hosanna, you are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Hosanna, Hosanna, come have your way among us. We welcome you here, Lord Jesus. Hosanna, 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 you are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Hosanna, Hosanna, come every way among us. We welcome you here, Lord Jesus. Come every way among us. We welcome you here, Lord Jesus. Come every way among us. We welcome you here, Lord Jesus. You're welcome, Lord Jesus. Our rock, our cornerstone. Darkness seems to hide his face. I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds a beam of veil. My anchor holds a beam of veil. Save
Come here to worship Jesus. This is a time of worship. We come here for all sorts of reasons, I guess, but above it all, we lift up the name of Jesus. Amen. We lift up the name of Jesus over our lives, over our circumstances. We lift up the name of Jesus over our families, our homes, our communities. We lift up the name of Jesus over our businesses, over our careers, over our workplace, our school. Whatever it might be, we lift up the name of Jesus in our town. We lift up the name of Jesus over everything, because he's King, he's Lord of all. Amen. We look to him, he's a lamp unto our feet, he's a light in the darkness. Amen. Is it good news? Yeah. Are you excited?
Yeah. A bit, you know. Well, you know, all right.
Awesome. Good morning, church. I am Jamie, as some of you will know. I am one of the ministers here at the Shore Community Church. Nick, the other one, is somewhere at the back. He'll be sharing God's word with us later, which will be awesome. I've got just a couple of notices for us, a bit of community news and family news. First of all, prayer meeting is tomorrow night, 7:45. There's a Zoom link. It's a Zoom prayer meeting. It's 45 minutes. Really, really great just to get together every fortnight and just pray as a community. If you've not had the link, please do contact the office and we'll send that out to you. It should have been in the notices. It was in the notices that we emailed it on Thursday. So if you can join us just for 45 minutes to pray, it's so important to pray as a community together. Please do make time in your diaries for that. As part of our sort of small group and life group program, Julie's going to be running. Julie, wave your hand in the air. Wave your hand in the air like you don't care. Something, 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 people stop and stare. Don't know, can't remember the rest. Anyway, Julie will be leading another edition of the Sanctuary course, won't you? Starting, the date is in front of me, on February the 7th at 7:30. That's going to be a Monday evening. If you want to find out any more about that, do speak to Julie. But roughly speaking, it's a course all about equipping us for mental health, emotional health, that sort of thing, being aware of those issues and how to operate. There was more details in the email that went round, but just very quickly, topics covered include understanding mental health and illness, challenging stigma, the recovery journey, companionship, self-care, the role of community in mental health recovery. So really great for our church and our kind of mission to kind of minister to the needs of our town in the area of well-being. Also just really useful stuff to know for our own journeys as well. So fantastic stuff. Find out more from Julie. That's the 7th of Feb. That starts. The cafe, as part of our wider wellbeing project and ministry, we've been running this cafe now for over 6 months, isn't it? And it's brilliant. It's fantastic. If you've not come along and you're able to come along on Tuesday or Wednesday between 11 and 3, please do try and come along. Come and have a cup of coffee, have some lunch. It's fantastic. But we do need some more volunteers, either front of house to serve and befriend and get to know people, or in the kitchen preparing food. We need volunteers in both areas. Please speak to Carla. Is sick today. God bless Carla. She's not sick, but Tallulah's tested positive today. But bless Tallulah, Lord. Nick, wave your hand in the air like you don't care. Sandy, where are you? There you are. There's some people to speak to if you want to find out more. Now, who remembers 2020? Before lockdown, before masks, before COVID, any of that, we remember all of that. Who remembers just before lockdown we had a swimathon? Who was part of the swimathon? Who did really, really well only to have their associate minister embarrass them by doing double the amount of lengths that he did? That'd just be me, wouldn't it? But you should have seen him aching the next week. I had my revenge. Pride before a fall, Nick Drury. The swimathon. Finally, we're going to celebrate the achievement, because the swimathon and the funds raised through that, and actually through a load of different activities and fundraising and that sort of stuff, have gone great guns towards refurbishing the toilets, which are now sort of well over halfway refurbished. So it's really great to look back and celebrate that and celebrate the time that's gone. I've just noticed that Simon's mask is a face. Can you just stand up and turn around and show everyone? Come up, Simon. This may be the most disturbing thing you'll see today. 3, 2, 1. That's just weird. You're putting me right off. Go and sit. What? Go on.
I tried to get something that would do facial recognition. It just doesn't work. So all it is scary.
I know. Facial recognition for who? Hannibal Lecter? Scary. Sorry, I'll try and ignore that and crack on, folks, but it's thrown me right off my train. Children, look away. So, swimathon, we're going to be celebrating that next week. Simon Whitehead, where are you, Simon Whitehead? I've seen you earlier. I've lost him. Okay. Yes, he's there. Yeah, there's a hand. He's prepared lots of prizes and certificates, and it's just really great to celebrate, isn't it? Celebrate what God has done, celebrate our achievements, and maybe look back at with a smile at some stuff that happened long before all of this stuff kicked off. So that's next week. We're going to be doing that in the service. So if you were part of that, I guarantee you Simon's got a prize or a certificate for you, haven't you, Simon? So please do try and come along next Sunday morning. Or if you're watching at home, please do come along next week if you possibly can. This Wednesday, we'll be having the next of our worship meetings. If you're interested in exploring your musical gifts, your singing gifts, or indeed your technical gifts as part of the worship team, it'll be awesome to see you. There's no guarantee or no pressure to be part of the Sunday worship. It's just coming along. It's a great time of fellowship. We had a lovely time 2 weeks ago. Really great just to worship together and practice and become more familiar with our instruments and playing together as a team. So if you want to explore that, do come along on Wednesday. And also, CHOG will be restarting, and Carla sent me the date, and I'm going to find it, on the 3rd of February. That's a children's home group for children. Starts at 4:30 until 6 on the 3rd of Feb. Joe Parnell, are you here? Yes, speak to Joe if you want to know any more. Now, that is the end of our notices. We would normally be handing round the baskets. Obviously, we're not doing that just at the moment, but baskets are at the front and also at the back. You can give online. We can't find this. Oh, we have found the slide. Well done, chaps. Great work. We couldn't find this. See, Carla leaves, everything falls apart. It's administrator syndrome, isn't it, Julie? You used to know this well. Yes, but we found it now. All the information is on the website, or you can ask us for more details if you would like to support the work of the church. If this is part of your worship and giving everything that we have to the Lord, please do consider doing that. And that really, that's what we run on, just on donations, really. Okay, I'm going to hand back to Dave to continue in worship. Kids team, when do you want to go out with the kids? Do you want to go? Did someone say now? Yes. Scott said now. Well, that's good. I'm glad Scott's keen to get out. Or maybe it's about you singing, Dave. I don't know. I mean, probably. I'll take that personally.
Yeah, well.
Watch it. He's bigger than you, Scott.
Not much.
Not much. Yeah. I know the feeling. Okay, kids, we'll say goodbye to you now. And young people, if you're going out to your groups, youth and that's awesome. God bless you. Pray you have an amazing time and bless your teachers and the guys that are leading you. Pray you'll be blessed in what you do and overflow with God's Spirit. Now we're going to continue worshipping, aren't we, Dave? I'll hand back to Dave. Cheers.
Okay, church, we're going to continue to worship now, but I'd like to just read this out to you. Psalm 18, first few verses. I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge. My shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Words of David in Psalm 18. We sang about Jesus being the cornerstone, and God being the rock. As we continue to worship now, you know, let's just focus on that, you know, because as I say, you know, it's we've lived through funny times, difficult times at times, some great times, some not so great times. But God is always there. He's the constant in this, you know. He's there. We can build on Him. We just need to anchor to Him. And when we do that, we can go through these situations. These situations will come. But we know that we just have the stability and the strength to come through all these situations because we can just build on our God. He's so solid. He's so strong. He gives us that protection. He gives us the strength. We've got so much to be grateful for. So let's just worship and just give thanks as we sing this next song now. Faithful One.
Again and again,
I call out to you again and again.
Let's sing that again, church. Faithful one.
is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart. Worship you. All I have within me, I give you praise. All that I adore is in you. My heart, I give you my soul, I live for you alone, every breath that I take, every moment I'm away, Lord, have your way. This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, worship you. Lord, we worship you this morning, and all I have within me, I give you praise. All that I adore is in you.
Making your prayer this morning. Lord, I give you.
Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. Live for you alone, every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul, I live for you alone, every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me.
Lord, that's all we ask. Have your way in us, Lord. Use us. Equip us. Fill us by your Spirit, Lord. Worshiping you, to give you all the praise and all the glory today, Lord. What we want to do is just to be with you, Lord. This is all made possible through you, through Jesus laying down his life. Father, you sent your Son, your only Son, because you loved us so much. And because of his sacrifice, Lord, we have freedom. We have eternal life. We have strength. We have peace. We're forgiven. Every single wrong doing gone. All made possible through Jesus. So thank you, God, for your love, your grace, your plans, and your forgiveness. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus.
I'm forgiven. Because you were forsaken, I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Spirit is within me because you died and rose again. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me, because you died and rose again. Amazing love, amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, Spirit is within me, because you died and rose again. Amazing love, amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, it's my joy to honor you. Amazing love, amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, it's my joy to honor you. In all I do, I honor you. In all I do, in all I do, I honor. In all I do, in all I do, I honor you. Lord, we thank you.
Turning the microphone on with a pen nib. The button's broken, so. Great to see you all this morning. We're going to be continuing in a series that Jamie kicked off with a couple of weeks ago. So it's a series we're going to be dipping in and out of. It's called Prayer, Songs in the Key of Life, which apparently is a Stevie Wonder song or album or something like that, of a very different era to mine, Jamie's olden day stuff. So I've vaguely heard of Stevie Wonder, that's about it. But last 2 weeks ago even, Jamie set the scene for this series. And he, just to quote him, he said about how we have a foundational problem with how we understand spirituality in our culture, and therefore how we conceive of prayer. So Jamie shared about how a lot of us struggle with prayer in different ways, and that we are needing to build from the ground up. And he used imagery of the foundations, the ground, needing to be broken up in order for new seeds to be planted, so that our prayer lives and our spiritual lives can see new life and to develop roots and depth to them. So this morning I'm going to be focusing particularly on prayer. And I'm asking us this question. Why do we pray? Might seem a really simple thing in many ways, or maybe we don't even think about it sometimes. Why do we pray? What is the purpose of prayer? So you might have noticed it is freezing cold this morning, isn't it? It is very, bitterly cold. So what I'm going to encourage is for you to turn to the person next to you if you feel comfortable enough to, and just have a chat with them for 30 seconds, a minute about this question, and try and do some exercises as you chat. This is your moment to be able to move around a little bit. Don't run around the room maybe, but have a chat with the person next to you. Why do we pray? What is the purpose of prayer? Right, just a little bit longer on that. I know it's quite short, so if someone hasn't had a chance to talk yet, go to the other person. Okay, and if we begin to draw those chats to a close. Brilliant, great. Well, I hope you've got your exercise in there, because you're going to have to stay stock still for the rest of the time. So I'm not going to ask for feedback, because that would take a bit too long, but it would be really interesting to get a flavour of what different people were chatting about. I wonder what some of the different things that you were sharing about there, about why do we pray? What is the purpose of prayer? What is it all about? So last week, Jamie shared a little bit about how we as a church with a big C have inherited a lot of unhelpful ideas about what prayer is. And perhaps we get into unhelpful patterns with prayer, where we sometimes maybe just see it as a prayer list that we've just got to get through, and maybe go through the motions of that, or mechanically go through it a bit unthinkingly. Or perhaps it can become one-dimensional, where prayer can be boiled down to one, two dimensions max. Perhaps that prayer is about asking God for things and growing your relationship with God, or deepening your faith. Maybe that it just boils down to those things. But what is the purpose of prayer? It is so much more than just those things. So today we're considering what prayer does. So the outworking of prayer, the effect of prayer, the effect of the act of praying. So in the hope that it will hopefully help us to reframe or expand our understanding of why we pray, asking the question of what prayer does. So if we were to ask that question of what does prayer do, one key element is hopefully for our prayers to be answered, for God to intervene in our prayer requests, which is, of course, really important in prayer. That's a vital part of prayer. And it's something that I'm sure we'll be considering in other ways throughout this series. But actually, this morning instead, I want to focus on how the act of prayer can transform us as the prayers. So as we are the prayers, how the act of praying can transform us. Because if we allow it, prayer can help us to know God better, to understand ourselves more, and to be connected further with others as well. So on the back of that, the title for my sermon this morning is Knowing Me, Knowing You. Aha, yeah. I put that last bit in as an afterthought. Do I put it in or not? The good thing is that this was actually 1976, apparently, which skips out the 80s, which is the decade that Jamie's strangely obsessed with, which we all know was the worst decade for music. My father-in-law happens to be here as well, who also loves the 80s, so it's a double whammy this morning. It's great. But yes, knowing me, knowing you. Yeah, okay. Moving on. So we're going to be exploring three key elements about knowing God, knowing ourselves, and knowing others this morning. So often when we talk about prayer, like I said earlier, we often see it as a way, it's very often talked about as a way of growing our relationship with God. Which is true, of course it is. But I'd like to argue that that's also sometimes a helpful term to use. It's really easy to say, isn't it? It's easy to say, how's your prayer life? How's your relationship with God? Or I need to grow my relationship with God. But what does that actually look like? It's really difficult to pin down, really. And sometimes if we focus too much on continually striving to grow our relationship with God, we can continually feel guilty about it when we're not feeling that we're successfully doing that. And it's a hard thing to gauge as well. So I'm suggesting that we perhaps also focus on knowing God. Because to get to any depth in a relationship, you need to get to know the other person first. In my little experience of relationships, you've generally got to get to know the other person first, haven't you? To be able to develop that relationship further. You can't have a deep relationship without knowing that other person well and vice versa. And the thing is that God's already got it sorted at his end. He already knows us inside out. So it's down to us to get to know God as well. And there is so much to get to know about God, isn't there? It can be pretty hard to fathom. In the book of Job, God replies to Job with this statement. He says, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? Or what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the heavenly beings shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst out from the womb? When I made the clouds in its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band, and prescribed bounds for it, and set bars and doors, and said, thus far shall you come, and no farther. And here shall your proud waves be stopped." There's some really powerful imagery there, isn't there? Just these words that just really make us realize how much depth there is to God, how much power there is within God. And it can actually be, God is wondrous and quite unfathomable as well. And through our prayers, what we actually often need to do is to learn to embrace the mystery of God. Because God, whilst I'm talking about us seeking to know God, God is still ultimately unknowable as well, because it never ends, the depth of God. And that's quite contradictory, isn't it? That's quite difficult, but that's okay. We can live with those contradictions. But we are called to seek to know God whilst embracing simultaneously the fact that God is unknowable. And alongside all of our knowing must be the equal and honest knowing that I do not know. And we see this in the Bible, particularly in the Psalms, where a lot of the Psalms are from King David, and there is this embracing of this tension of seeking to know God while simultaneously not fully understanding or grasping or comprehending God and being okay with that ultimately. But in our prayers with God, We are called to seek to understand and know God and God's ways more, but not to try and solve it, not to just get to the bottom of it, not to try and crack God, because if we try and do that, we're just going to fail. But actually, we're called to embrace the mystery. Richard Rohr says these words. He says, "Mystery is not something you can't know. Mystery is endless knowability." I'll just repeat that again. Mystery is not something you can't know. Mystery is endless knowability. Living inside such endless knowability is finally a comfort, a foundation of ultimate support, security, unrestricted love, and eternal care. For all of us, it takes much of our life to get there. It is what we surely mean by growing in faith. So what Richard Rohr is sharing there is it's actually about experiencing God, which is what we are called to do, to try and experience God. Another analogy, perhaps, is seeking to know God is like holding up a microscope to the world, like in this image here, where you can hone in on different parts in great depth and great detail, but you can't ever get to the end of knowing. You can never get to the end of that vastness. Embracing the mystery of God means that we also have to embrace not having all of the answers and becoming more comfortable with not having those answers. So that's just a little bit about knowing and unknowing God. So praying is transformative in how we can know God. But the act of praying can be transformative for us personally as well. Because praying, it gives voice to what is on our heart. It's a way of expressing emotions, isn't it? And once again, if we were to look at the Psalms, there is a real spectrum of emotions within them, sometimes within the same psalm. Psalm 40, for example, is King David, and throughout the psalm, from the beginning to the end, he begins by expressing thankfulness to God for what he's done for him, and then he moves on to a declaration of the power of God, and then he begins praising God, and then he requests help from God, and then he expresses anger against others who are against him, and then ends with desperation for God to help him, all in one fairly short psalm. And what David is encapsulating there is what prayer is all about. It's about a bringing to mind what is deepest within us. Once again, going back to Richard Rohr, he talks about this notion of the true self. So he says, your true self is who you are in God from all eternity. As Ephesians says, you are chosen in Christ from before the world began. So your true self, it has nothing to do with your temperament, has nothing to do with your Myers-Briggs type, or your nationality, or your race, or your religious affiliation. But actually, in Colossians, Paul says, we are hidden with Christ in God. That is your true self. It doesn't go up, it doesn't go down, it doesn't fluctuate. You can't lose it, you can't gain it. All you can do is allow it and rest in it and draw from it. And one of the outworkings of prayer is to deepen and awaken us to our true selves. And that needs space, because that foundational identity that is within each and every one of us, we need to find time to rest in that. And the longer that we can rest in that through reflective, contemplative prayer, then we can learn more of what our true self is all about. And it helps us to let go of our passing identities and to learn to rest in the one true identity that never dies. So contemplative prayer that I just referenced there is where you intentionally create space just to be with God. It's about moving beyond the request list of what you need to pray about that day, but actually just allowing God to enter in. I don't know if you've ever had those times where you pray about something and then a light is turned on, something just clicks in you, where you just feel like you perhaps have to pause for a moment. That's the Holy Spirit meeting you where you're at and holding up a mirror to you and reflecting your true self back. So I'd encourage us to just dwell in those moments as much as we can. Jamie was sharing last week that when we pray, it might be for 30 seconds if we can just manage that in a day, or it could be up to 3 hours, depending on the day, depending on our circumstances. There are no set rules. We don't need to feel guilty that we're not doing at least half an hour every single day. But actually just to try and dedicate that time to just being open to what God has to say to you. Sometimes the prayer requests are really valuable. To be praying for others is so vital, of course, but actually in amongst that, to be allowing space just to be with God and allow God to speak to you. Another part of the way of the act of praying, how it can be transformative for ourselves, is to show more gratitude. So we do talk about being thankful as being important within our prayers. Why? Because God wants us to. In Colossians, Paul says these words, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." And there are loads of other passages, particularly in the New Testament, about being thankful to God through prayer. So thankfulness to God, it can perhaps be seen as a sense of duty sometimes, that we owe it to God, or that it will please God. And I'm sure it will please God when we're thankful to him for the things that we have or the things that he's done for us. But actually, there's other things that go on when we express gratitude through prayer. Very random, but can anyone tell me, can anyone guess what these molecules added up become? So the one on the top left and the one on the bottom right. If anyone happens to know already what they could possibly be. No, it's not that. Anyone else? No? It's stuff that goes on in our brains. Well, some of you will probably know a lot more than I do, but I Googled it, so it's all right. Serotonin and dopamine. Have we heard of those? Yep. So serotonin and dopamine, kind of seen as the happy chemicals, are the chemicals that make us feel emotions. So the studies and neuroscientific research that have shown that fundamentally, expressing gratitude brings happiness through serotonin and dopamine being released. So there's lots of research on this. And when we express gratitude, our brain releases the dopamine and the serotonin. And the two crucial neurotransmitters responsible for our emotions, these two things, and they make us feel good. They enhance our mood immediately and can make us feel happy from the inside. And the effects of gratitude, when practiced daily, can be almost the same as some medications as well. because it produces a feeling of long-lasting happiness and contentment. And by consciously practicing gratitude every day, we can help these neural pathways to strengthen themselves and ultimately create a more permanent, grateful, and positive nature within ourselves. So I think on the back of that, it is more than a coincidence that God calls us to be thankful. It's not that God just wants us to be thankful to him because it will please him. But actually, God created our minds and our bodies to respond to gratitude in that way for the serotonin and the dopamine to be released, because actually it will help enable and enrich our own lives as well. So God wants us to be thankful within our prayers, to incorporate gratitude into our prayer lives, because that can transform ourselves and those around us too. So it's a call for us to consciously bring in rhythms of thankfulness into our prayer lives. And the final one, knowing you. So, of course, when we pray for others, we desire for whatever our prayer is for them to happen. But it shouldn't just be limited to what those prayer requests are. Because actually, the act of praying for others can really help us to connect better with others too. And I've experienced this myself, and I'm sure many of you have experienced this too, when you've prayed for others, where you will pray for someone, where you'll kind of bring them to your mind as you pray for them. And then in that moment of prayer, that person is getting your soul attention. And then if there's an ongoing need and you're in a relationship with that person, then you perhaps ask for updates on whatever it is that you're praying for into them. And it kind of creates this cycle of thinking about them more, caring about them more. So prayer can draw you into this greater awareness of others and the world around you. And it means that you can become more, increasingly more aware of others' needs rather than just your own. It means that you put yourself into their shoes. Which then becomes even more of a challenge for us to actually not only pray for those that we want to pray for, but actually for us to be praying for God's blessing on those that we struggle with as well. We have this very well-known couple of verses in Matthew where Jesus is sharing his sermon on the Mount. And he says to the people, he says, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your enemy, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." And I've been trying to bring this into my prayer life more recently, which is a real challenge, to try and bring those people to your mind, the people that you find particularly difficult. And I'm sure we can all think of those people almost straight away, those people that we struggle with. But actually, when we seek to pray for them, it can be really transformative in our relationship with them. It's really hard to be angry with someone when you've just brought them to your mind to pray for them. When you ask for God's blessing on them. And finally, in considering how the act of praying can help transform our relationships with others too. The final consideration is that praying for others should enable us to be the change, to be a part of the change for whatever you are praying for. Obviously, when we're praying for God to help someone, we want God to intervene into that, and that is really important. But what's also vitally important is that we don't do this passively. We do it actively. In asking for God to intervene into those people's lives through any means, those means might include us as well. And they very often do, in the part that we can be playing in caring for those people and supporting those people as well. So when we pray for others, that actually it helps us to be more aware of their needs and seeking to support them in their needs as well. And sometimes it can be really difficult, can't it? It can be really difficult to just know the words to pray, the words to pray for ourselves or the words for others. So just quickly, just two short quotes here. I won't go into them too much, but just for you to maybe reflect on them yourself and see if it speaks to you. So one from Gandhi, it is better in prayer to have heart without words than words without heart. Coined as a prayer for those who cannot pray with words. Because sometimes it can be really difficult, can't it, to conjure up the words. We could be in a prayer meeting and we can feel that the person next to us or next to us on the Zoom screen can have all of the eloquent words that they're coming out with, and we just don't really know what to say. Some people are naturally more gifted with words than others, and that's okay. That doesn't mean they're better prayers than others at all. Sometimes you can just dwell with whatever it is that you are praying into, and just really to feel that, to sense that, to invite God to enter into that prayer with you. And sometimes that is all that is needed, to go beyond those words. And in linking with that, from Georges Bamanos, who says, "The wish to pray is a prayer in itself." And I think that's that reminder to us that we don't just have to have those set prayer times, do we? But actually, our whole lives can be prayer. And that can be where we bring people to our mind throughout the day, where we can be bringing God to our minds as well in wanting to seek to praise God, to be thankful to God. That actually just that desire and bringing that to our mind is a prayer in of itself. So as we wrap this up, I'm just going to invite Dave and the band to come up as we're going to have a final song or two. But just to bring it to land here. So it's just this reminder, basically, this morning that prayer is about so much more than just trying to get God to change things for us. Sometimes those prayers are really important, of course, but actually there is so much more to the act of praying than that. And we've talked about knowing God, knowing me, and knowing you. So what I'm just going to encourage us to do for this moment is to just reflect on what is on the screen here. And perhaps for you to maybe try this in the week ahead as well, just to pick one word that describes God. Maybe God is merciful, God is creator, God is love, God as grace, whatever word that comes to your mind that describes God, just to reflect on that for a moment, of what does it mean to have a God who is that, to have a God who is merciful, to have a God who is love. And then to move on to asking the question of how does that impact on how I see myself? How does the fact that God is love impact on me and how I see myself? And then finally, what does that mean for others? How can I demonstrate that quality to others? So the fact that God is love, what that means to me, what does that mean for others as well? What implications does that have on how I relate that quality to others too? So as we move into a time of sung worship together, I just encourage you to reflect on one word for this moment. I'm just going to pause, then I'm going to pray, and then we're going to worship together. Lord God, I thank you for the depth of your goodness, a depth beyond what we can even comprehend. But Lord, we thank you for the gift of prayer, that we are called to seek to know you, to embrace the unknown elements of you, to embrace the ability to continually seek to get to know you more, to get deeper into our relationships with you. Lord, we pray that we can reflect on our own prayer lives in how we can better understand ourselves and those around us. Lord, that your Holy Spirit can speak to us, that we can better understand our true selves, who we are in you, that we can cut away all of the identities that don't really matter, identities that might harm us, identities that hold us back from truly knowing and experiencing you. And Lord, we ask to be shown how to better connect with others. That as we pray for those we love and those we struggle with too, that you can show how you are within each and every one of them, and how we can reveal who you are to those people. Lord, we thank you for your unending love for each and every one of us. Amen. Thank you.
Thanks, Nick. Okay, church, we're going to just to finish off in worship now. So again, if you are able, do please stand and worship with me. But again, if you're not able to, just remain where you are. But just we encourage you to connect.
King of my heart, be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life, oh, is my song. You are good, good, oh, you are good. The King of my heart, be the wind inside my sails, the anchor in my waves, oh, is my song. Let the King of my heart be the fire inside my veins, the echo of my days, oh, is my song. You are good. You are good. is holding on to me. God is holding on. When the night is holding on to me, God is holding on.
Come on, church.
'Cause you are good, good. Ooh, you are good, good. Ooh, 'cause you are good, good. Ooh, you are good, good.
God, you are good. Lord, we thank you because you are an amazing and almighty God. There's no one greater than you, Lord. Oh, Lord, so we just thank you, God, for your presence in this place this morning. We thank you, God, for the words that you've spoken to us. We thank you, God, that we can connect. We thank you, God, for the partnership that we have with you, Lord. Lord, we thank you, God, that we can speak to you at any time. You're always there, always hearing, Lord. All we need to do is just to cast everything that we have to you, give it to you, Lord. So thank you, God, for your presence in our lives. Lord, I pray as we now go about our week, Lord. Lord, we pray you fill us with your spirit. We pray, Lord, that you use us throughout our week in our homes, in our jobs, in our friendships, in our community. Lord, use us, Lord. Thank you, God, for the plans you have for us. Thank you, God, for the love, the grace, protection. And Lord, just we pray every blessing upon everyone in this place today, Lord. Lord, you are good. And we lift up this worship and this praise and this service to you, Lord, with thanks in Jesus' name. We give it to you, Lord. Amen.